For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. The Supreme Court today voted 6-3 that the 1964 Civil Rights Act barring sex discrimination in the workplace does indeed protect LGBTQ employees from being fired for being LGBTQ. Here to talk about this and more issues with the queer community is Sean Lang, Deputy Director with AIDS Connecticut. Sean, what are your feelings today?
You know, I feel really pretty elated. You know, we haven't had major victories like this for the LGBT community in a while. So this is huge coming down from the Supreme Court. And again, it's especially huge coming down with an administration like this who has been, you know, pretty openly hostile to the LGBT community and particularly to the transgender community. So this really comes at a time when we desperately need something like this.
And the margin of victory had to be a little bit surprising. You had to have two conservatives join with the four liberal justices to get a 6-3 vote, and those two people turned out to be Chief Justice John Roberts and, probably a little more surprising, Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah, definitely surprised about Gorsuch for sure. You know, that's very unexpected, and, you know, at some point I'd like to actually read the briefing to see what they had to say about that. And why they voted in this way. But, you know, in a case like this, you can't look a gift horse in the mouth, but to accept this victory and celebrate it, again, during Pride Month, which is an even sweeter victory, I think.
And how are the virtual celebrations standing? Are they standing in as a reasonable facsimile so far? How have they gone?
No, it's not the same. Obviously, you know, we're used to being together, and I'm thinking about so many years ago when the sodomy law was struck down, that, you know, all over Connecticut, people got together to celebrate, you know, gathering at queer-friendly places like Tazanes and Hartford. But obviously, we're not going to have that today. I think the celebration is muted for many, many reasons right now. But I think people are sort of adapting to this world that we're in right now and trying to do the best we can and celebrate the best we can.
When you think about the first shots in the revolution for gay rights, the Stonewall Uprising, let's call it, it was a bar. It happened because of a bar that was a fixture in the community. And bars traditionally would seem to be a real fixture, a real town square almost. Then you look at the pandemic that we're in, and I looked at a chart yesterday. One of the most dangerous things you can do, if not the most dangerous, is go inside and spend time in a bar. How earth-shattering, what kind of an earthquake has this been from the standpoint of not having the bars available during this time and potentially not much going forward?
Well, honestly, a group of us were talking about the old bar scene back in the day. I moved to Connecticut in 83, and it was a vibrant bar scene, you know, in pockets pretty much all around the state. And one by one, those have gone by the wayside. You know, in Hartford, there's only one gay bar left right now. There hasn't been a lesbian bar anywhere. And we used to have places like the Reader's Feast, which was located where Monte Alban is now, a Mexican restaurant in Hartford on Farmington Ave. Reader's Feast was a feminist-owned and run bookstore. And that was such a huge hub for all of us. You know, after things like, you know, when we, group of us, engaged in civil disobedience and fighting for the gay rights bill in Connecticut, and after we got arrested and released, we go to the Reader's Feast. That's just what we did. But again, we don't have those hubs anymore. So I think people, you know, have adjusted to those changes in lots of different ways.
Why? What's happened? What has happened to foster the demise of those community hubs, those gay bars, and it has the pandemic exacerbated it?
I imagine the pandemic has exacerbated it because they, you know, they just can't be open right now, as few and far between as they are. And I think it's a $64 million question. as to, you know, what led to the demise. I think it happened gradually and over time. I wonder if, you know, the passage of the gay rights bill in Connecticut in 91, you know, where people, you know, had that safety net now, and people felt more comfortable being out to the people they work with, their families, their friends, et cetera, that, you know, you didn't necessarily need sort of the safety net of those bars anymore. And then for a lot of us, you know, we have an aging population. I'm over 60. So going to a gay bar isn't really high on my list of priorities, even if they were available. But having those hubs to go and celebrate, you know, again, I go back to the sodomy ruling many, many years ago, and, you know, everybody gathered at Tazane out on their patio to celebrate that victory. So, but I think we have to, like, pretty much limit the celebration to being online at this point in time.
Final question. What is the government doing right in meeting the needs of LGBTQ folks during this time? And what are they not doing right? What more is needed from our local, our state, and our federal government to help LGBTQ people weather this storm?
Well, I think we're really fortunate to live in a state like Connecticut. We were the third state in the nation to pass a gay rights bill, and then we made changes to that, both, you know, adding protections for transgender folks, making sure that trans folks can change their gender marker on their birth certificate. You know, sometime last fall, the Attorney General brought a group of LGBT people together because there were different cases being heard at the Supreme Court that could potentially impact LGBT people, you know, not so much in Connecticut, because we do have lots of protections in place, and we do have supportive public officials, certainly not everybody, but, you know, public officials around the state. But I think for people in other parts of the country, you know, I have friends who live in Texas and Alabama and other states that don't have those protections. So a victory like this is really, I think, even more important in places like that that may not have those state protections that we enjoy here. You know, and at that meeting with the Attorney General, he was very clear. He's like, we are going to fight this. They had signed on to an amicus brief. So I think, you know, we're heading in the right direction.
Sean Lang, Deputy Director with AIDS Connecticut. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.